Welcome aboard.
It is the trifecta of 590 WKZO. Fellas, how are you?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, so far.
It's been weird seeing you. It's like it's strange.
Who had what, 4 months in the pool?
I don't know. I think the over-under was three.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So. All three of us back together.
Yes.
One last ride with Jimmy going to mornings and everything else going crazy.
We got the band back together.
And we brought the usual fill-in. Gene Clem from the Tea Party along with us, too. So kind of a full cast of characters. We're live from Old Peninsula today. Is Pumpkin Ale being drafted today?
Today is the launch.
Pumpkin Ale.
Of course. I mean, why not?
We're waiting for our cue. We're waiting for our cue from you. When you start quaffing it, we'll try it too.
Oh, is that how that works?
No,
see, I was going
drinks.
The opposite way. I'm like, look, if you guys are doing it, then I'd have to join in. You know how that works.
No, we take our cue from you, sir.
All right, so today is the day you can come down and get Pumpkin Ale. Old Peninsula, we're right downtown. Yes.
That's not all.
Wait, there's more?
There's more.
No, there's more. Is there more?
There's more, yeah. You have to come down. You have to register. There's a nice white box with a hole cut in the top. You got to come down here, and you fill out a blank, and it gives you three chances to win.
Three?
Yeah, three.
Three?
Yeah, we're going to be giving away a $25 gift card to Old Peninsula.
Okay.
We have a pair of tickets to the Central Michigan Western Michigan football game.
All right.
And you get a chance to win $250 by filling it out, and there you go.
Oh, and by the way, there's a text.
There's a text thing you have to do, too.
No, it said there's a text thing. There's actually a fourth.
Oh,
I've added a fourth without you guys even
knowing. Oh, jeez.
Welcome aboard, by the way. 382-4280, toll-free statewide, 877-382-4280. And, of course, those texts we love so much, 80373. Hopefully we can start the show.
Yeah, we can.
All right, let's do that.
Trifecta, 590 WKZO. It is Jim, it is Roger, it is Jay, it is Gene, and it is Pumpkin Ale. Oh, it's Tom? We're going to mention Tom, too. Tom looks busy.
And pumpkin ale.
And do we mention Pumpkin Ale?
And yes.
And Pumpkin Ale,
did you
right?
know they have Pumpkin Ale
I
here?
I do know they have Pumpkin Ale here. And we're like right next to the window where we can see it being brewed.
We should have thought of doing the trifecta from a bar a long time ago.
We're a little slow in the uptake. It's just the way we know.
Yeah. Yeah. This should have been where we started.
Gene would have been more on. Gene would have been. Sure, I'll do it.
You know,
I've been here every day.
Phil and host would have been simple.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you know, I would have had to do is say, can you? Yes, I'm going. You know, that kind of thing. So, all right, so let's talk about Syria really quickly, guys. The president is going to speak tomorrow. Congress is probably going to vote on Wednesday, but now there's some extenuating circumstances because now Assad is coming out and defiantly. Before he was just saying no. Now he's saying defiantly. He had absolutely nothing to do with this. And, you know, I didn't see his nose growing or anything. And, of course, Justin Amash is stomping around and saying anybody that approves it ought to clean out their desk because they're dead meat in the next election. And there's all these extenuating circumstances. We've waited this long. Is it really imperative that we do something? I mean, seriously?
When you're a ruthless dictator, do you really say, yes, I did it. Yes, I used chemical weapons.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I did, yeah. Come on. Come get me, international community.
Na, 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 na.
Of course Jimmy's going to say, nope, didn't know anything about it. Those guys underneath me, they're the ones.
You got to add Putin to that mix, too, because Putin said, you turn them over today, buddy. So I, you know, he's going to listen to Putin. I don't know.
No, he's not listening to anybody. And he's already said that he's going to bring hellfire and damnation on us and anybody else that helps us, which is France right now. What's the president going to say tomorrow? Is he going to come out and, as we all do, announce our plans so that everybody in the world knows?
I don't know. He's got a tough road to hold. The spread I've seen, he doesn't really have all the votes in the Senate yet. There's a lot still undecided in the Senate. In the House, it doesn't look like, if you take the no's and the leaning no's, that he's probably not going to get in the House. So that was Washington Post poll this morning. So it's not going to go. So then what does he do?
Well, Harry Reid's even reaching, because he quoted a line from Inferno by Dante, and using the quoting fingers, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in times of great moral crisis, maintain their neutrality.
Can anybody really remain neutral at this point in time? I mean, again, if you can prove, which I just saw a video over the weekend, and I forget where I saw it from, that looked like people with, you know, chemical weapon burns on them.
Uh-huh.
If you can prove that, I mean, from an international community standpoint, you would think that there would be this, you know, gotta go, gotta do, but I haven't heard that from the international community.
Well, you know, I don't argue just with you guys. I got into it over the weekend with my wife. He's killed hundreds of thousands of people with bullets, and now all of a sudden he's killing people with another method. If we were going to invade some place that was killing people with bullets, we'd invade Chicago. I'm not certain I understand, if you're killing your citizens, how you kill them makes that much difference.
Well, if it was gas, wouldn't we would have been in Iraq many, many, many years ago.
Absolutely. Killing people is killing people. And the logic behind, you kill your people, so we're going to come in and teach you a lesson by killing your people. I don't get it.
I certainly hope they do with a red line. That would be awful silly.
Well, here's the thought, and I circle back to how Jim started this. What is the president going to say tomorrow? He's going to try to sell us on the fact that it's an imperative to go over there and get involved, and why the United States interests are involved in all of this. And I don't know if you can make that. Look, after the last 10 years, I'm not convinced you can actually make that case at this point in time. I really just don't think you can.
Well, you know, Congress is looking at the videos today of the apparent attacks on the civilians. They're going to see those videos today. So I'm wondering if, once they see them, is that going to convince those who are on the fence to say,
Congressman Fred Upton, are you going to go back to your constituents? Are you going to come back here and try to convince us that, yes, we need to go into Syria, and yes, we need to make this some sort of a major force and a show of force in Syria?
If he's seen the video, the video
but
works.
But are you going to be able to make that case?
Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And what's an extremely limited war? That's what Secretary of State Kerry was talking about.
Actually, he called it an extremely limited war.
Yeah.
Very small.
What is a limited war? Once you start bombing, and once you start leaving pilots in there potentially at some point, where does it end?
Ron, Fred's call so far from the two offices, St. Joe and Kalamazoo, were like nobody coming in and saying, yes, go ahead and attack. They're all no's. I sent them over a poll. Of course, my email list is slanted a little more towards the right than a regular poll.
A little? Just a little? All right.
Well, there's some liberals that get under, just see what we're doing. But it was like 170-some no and 10 yes. And two of them could make their mind. I don't know who those.
Well, and the odd bedfellows in this, that Justin Amash and I are on the same page on this.
That's
thing.
Scary. It really is scary.
So this isn't a right or left split. You've got Republicans and Democrats on both sides of the issue. I don't get it.
It's
got to
be national interest. And if there's no national interest, why do you do that?
That's what people are saying. They're saying this, there is, other than the fact they're using chemical weapons, and it should be a United Nations issue, but the UN's not doing anything, and they're not going to do anything because Russia and China are going to stand in the way no matter what.
Well, and the important thing from our perspective, Syria doesn't have any oil. I don't see what the need is. Iraq was all about oil. Afghanistan was because Osama bin Laden was there. What is our purpose? What's the goal? What's our exit strategy?
Those are all questions that we never answer.
What's the mission?
Yeah, we never
answer it. Afghanistan, we don't answer it. I mean, we just don't answer questions.
I know. We're going to start another war without answering those questions.
All right, so then I'm going to ask you, Raj, what does the president have to say tomorrow? I mean, he's going to have this news conference, a news focus. You're going to have people that are going to come here and go, all right, so how are you going to convince me? Or they're going to go, oh, I don't care. Show me more of that little soul twerking there.
Yeah, I think that's what he's – I don't think the American public is – get behind him, and the more he pushes, I think the more embarrassed he's going to be at some point.
He should do more like Cameron. You take the vote and you say, "Oops, well, the people have spoken."
Yep,
that's
I had the idea, but Congress won't let me.
You think that's why he gave it to Congress in the first place, figuring that was going to be the case? He has an out at that point, or do you think he had the votes?
I think he thought he was going to be able to bluff his way through it. And he'd convince a few key people that this was going to be a very limited strike with no boots on the ground. And I think he thought he would just be able to do it under presidential authority.
Well, Andy, there's a caller that says he wants to know what would have happened if someone intervened in our civil war, which...
Well, they did. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, but did either side use chemical weapons? See, that's that. You know, I still think that's what the president's using as a crux of his issue.
What? That's the argument, absolutely.
It's not the fact that they're killing each other over Syria, because they've been doing it for over a year now or 2 years.
Yeah, it's now they're
just shooting each other
with chemical
now
weapons.
Now they're using weapons that are by 3/4 of the countries in the world are pretty much banned. But, again, he's using that as his legitimate avenue to doing whatever he has to do. And I'm not sure that they're ready. I don't think we're – even with the chemical weapons being used, I'm not – because the casualty count hasn't been all that high, you know?
In America, what do you mean? There's been over 100,000 Koreans killed. That's the city of
Kyiv.
That's a lot of –
They're going to tell you that's their war. They started it. They need to finish it. And if they want to use dirty pool, then they're going to use dirty pool.
I'm trying to figure out, where do you stand? You're not for this, are you?
No.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Not at all.
You're making an argument almost to say.
He's just lamenting the fact that that many people.
No, he's almost saying, hey, look, somebody needs to stop it, but it can't be us, is what I was hearing. But I guess I was hearing it wrong.
I'm opposed to the use of chemical weapons.
Right.
But I'm not certain I see it. Between chemical weapons and any other way of killing people.
No. There's a big difference.
People.
Yeah, but you know what? It's almost an accepted method of killing somebody by using a bullet. But when I was in the Army, I was on the nuclear biological and chemical warfare team. You would be surprised how nasty it is.
Well, yeah, in the military function, that makes sense because it creates a lot of gadgets.
All right. Well, we'll talk more maybe about it, or we'll do something else. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZL.
WKZO, it's the Trifecta. We're live from Old Peninsula, the debut for this year of Pumpkin Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Watching a growler of pumpkin ale walk out the door
by itself?
No, okay.
No, that's later.
Okay, got it. Yeah. We're going to talk to Dan, Brewmaster Dan, aren't we?
Yeah. 350?
350.
All
right, so we'll talk to him.
And
Roger.
My first question for him is, why is it called a growler? It's a big bottle of beer, but why?
I can't wait to hear his answer.
Yeah. You didn't know, did you?
I had no idea.
Oh, me either. We'll find out. Stay tuned.
You think I would know, but I don't. That would be a bit of trivia that I have no clue.
Useless trivia, by the way.
This is useful. That's why you didn't know.
Well, you need to come down here, because if you come down here, you can register to win $25 gift certificate from Old Peninsula, or a pair of tickets to go see Central Michigan and Western play in football. I even have some movie tickets. You never know. We might have some fun. So, really
quick. Cash too. Don't
and, huh?
Cash.
Oh, and the cash too. Cash. But there's an element of that, but that's okay.
We ought to mention that the Old Peninsula Brew Pub is at the corner of Portage and Michigan, block east of the mall, right down.
That's right.
Very nice.
In
right.
Kalamazoo.
You did that very nice.
Very good.
With free, convenient 90-minute free parking.
Thank
available.
You, Mr. GPS. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Quickly, we're going to talk about this really cool. It's called an MI Toolkit. Michigan State University has developed a website for professors, teachers or whatever, if they have problem or their focus or priority schools for school accountability or whatever.
Yeah.
This actually will help them improve their test scores, supposedly. Sounds to me like it's an internet way to teach to the test, but, you know.
No, we don't do that. No.
It's targeted at the lowest performing institutions in the state and those that have large achievement gaps, but they can be used by any school, and you can just go on the internet and you can get any kind of resources, that, and this from the Office of K-12 Outreach in Michigan State. So another resource for teachers to use to try to improve their test scores.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You know, it becomes very evident at some point in time that all kids aren't really created equal.
No.
How the hell can you have a standardized test based everything off of a standardized test and call it a day? I don't understand this. I still don't get it.
No.
I mean, I understand that you have to test somehow. But I've got two daughters, both in high school, and gosh knows, you know, we're talking from both ends of the spectrum on these two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some kids can take tests, some others can't.
Yeah,
I will tell you from special education standpoint that those special ed students are allowed to go to a special room and the teachers are allowed to read the test to them. But you've got to wonder how many general ed students could take that test, and if they had it read to them, they'd fly right through it because that's the way they take tests. And that's the issue. Nobody gets evaluated the same way. I mean, you can't. It's impossible because all students start to learn differently. From a teaching standpoint, all students learn differently. I don't know how they come up with the evaluation tools they do, but...
If you could take the test via texting, I think a lot of young people would do a lot better. If you didn't
probably
have
right.
to spell out the word U, you could just use the letter U. Kids would do a lot better, I swear, and quick. They could just use their thumbs, and it would be all over.
You know, you joke, yeah. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's going to come up with that as a way to do it. You know? Seriously.
No,
they're going to come up with a way.
I think you're spot on.
I can't understand that, it. I've never understood it.
Standardized tests are an indication, not something we ought to be running our society by.
Well, I don't, you know, and I mentioned this to you guys before, but it's like I don't ever think that we were the smartest ones in the room. We're the most innovative. We're the most engineer. We're the ones that didn't have anything to lose. But I don't think we were ever really the smartest ones in the room. You know, and if you take away all of the rest of the creativity that goes into a classroom and say, hey, look, this is what you're going to do and this is the stuff you're going to study, well, what goes to the, you know, to the ingenuity, to the, all the rest
yeah.
of stuff we've been good at for 200 and some odd years?
How do kids become individuals
right.
if everything is standardized?
Exactly.
Hey, guys like Jobs and Microsoft, what's his name? The guy that owns Microsoft.
Paul Allen?
Yeah. You think those guys... I mean, I don't think either one of those people were geniuses in
no.
tests.
But yeah, a lot of college.
They grabbed onto an idea and knew how to get people interested and knew what it was worth. Now, how do you teach that? I don't think you teach that.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time. With the standardized test, you're always going to have time. Anytime you get that bubble sheet, hard time. Because sometimes intimidated, I've had kids fill them out and put four-letter words on them. You know, so it's weird. Anyway, we'll be back. Coming up, CBS News, local news. Bob, all sorts of fun stuff from the Old Peninsula Brew Pub. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO.
It is the trifecta as we are live today from Old Peninsula Brew Pub. It is the debut of this year's pumpkin ale. Cheers, my
friends.
That's
tasty. It is a good batch this year.
You know, it's a good thing Gene and I are here, because I think by the end of the show, we're going to be the
not
only
not
ones.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a tiny. That's
yeah,
a
these are
guy.
A little bigger than a shot
and,
glass.
And how do you
this
know you're
taste.
Not going to get refills?
I know what my top
yeah.
is.
Yeah, and we've got enough to get me into trouble.
I don't know. We stay here long enough.
Almost out the nose there.
Yeah, almost out the nose.
Well, you got to come in and see us. We're at Openness Le Brew Pub at the corner of Michigan and Portage, and we're giving away a $25 gift card to Old Peninsula. We're giving away two tickets to Central Western football, and we got some movie passes and all that kind of fun stuff.
And cash.
There's a texting element to that. But we'll explain it when you come in.
I know. We'll explain
it. It's good. You know, come on in and enjoy. You know, come in out of the heat and great air conditioning and beer.
Ale.
And beer. And you can see us, too.
There is an interesting aftertaste with the pumpkin ale of the spices.
Well, the spices are brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I've had it sweet. You know, again, I've tried enough pumpkin ales. There's really sweet pumpkin ales.
Yeah.
It tastes like you're drinking pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
This is just, this one's a little tartar, and this one's got a really nice spice to it. The spice combination he's got there is fantastic. We're going to talk, by the way, to Brewmaster Dan at 3:50 today, so we'll get his take on what they exactly did and how they tweaked it. I mean, I'm sure because you've got to tweak it a little bit every time.
Yeah. It is a work of art. This is not mass production.
No, it's beauty of it all.
And it's cool because we're right next, like I said, we're right next. You can see into the brewery room and I've seen Brewmaster Dan wandering around, which is kind of cool.
All right, we're going to talk with Bob here in just a couple minutes, so I'm waiting to hear that Bob is ready for us. And
okay.
We'll go with that. We do need to, though, bring up what happened at Western Michigan University on Saturday, and not in the way that you think I would. Everyone's going to sit here and go, I can't believe we lost to Nichols. All right, fine. Take that out of the play. The game was, I'm going to say this out loud, the game was secondary in some ways, and I'll actually explain it here in a minute.
Okay.
All right, Bob, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. Been a while.
It has been.
Yeah, exactly. The guys can't hear you, so you can't go geek with them. I'm controlling this. And I love this.
Okay.
All right, so I need a weather word.
Plain and simple. And the word is fight. I wish you could use a phrase today, such as not going out without a fight. So I just stuck with the word fight, as in
fight.
Summer is not going to give up without a fight. This is just
I
for
like
you,
that.
Jay.
I like that.
It's because it's your kind of weather.
It is. All right, so let's get the scoop then.
Well, average high, first of all, I have to put things into perspective here in the second week of September. The average high is now 76. So we've jumped above that today.
All right.
But as they say, you ain't seen nothing yet because wait till tomorrow. Temperatures jump above 90 tomorrow.
90 tomorrow.
Above 90. Record challenging heat tomorrow. Could be mid-90s across parts of the region. It'll feel as if it's July again.
Well, that's a great flashback.
15 to 20 degrees above average tomorrow. A lot of heat, humidity to go along with it, and it'll stay warm and humid tomorrow night. We'll still be very warm and humid on Wednesday, probably not as hot. I don't think we get low to mid-90s, but it'll at least be near 90, and there could be a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon or evening on Wednesday as the next front approaches. So this will not be a prolonged heat wave, but it is certainly going to be a very intense and very impressive late-season heat blast.
All right, so then tell me what happens the day after that.
Oh, you want to know?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, we start to transition cooler Thursday. Highs in the 70s and partly sunny, and then it is much cooler for Thursday night and Friday. Into the 40s Thursday night, highs in the 60s on Friday.
You know, sometimes I wonder why I ask these questions.
You asked.
I know.
But you kind of knew what was coming.
I know.
You probably
I
figured.
I did.
Yeah.
Thanks much.
You're welcome.
There you go. Bob Larson. So it's going to be hot, humid, sticky, summer-like tomorrow, and then it drops off, and low in the 40s by Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about a roller coaster.
Well,
this
it's
week's
September.
A roller coaster. I know.
Welcome to September.
Exactly. All right. So, yes, there was a loss.
Yes.
Shouldn't have lost that game. Coach was on with you this morning, wasn't
he? Yes, he was. Yes. And
what did he say?
He underplayed the loss part of it and stated again that his express purpose here in coming to Western Michigan was to change the atmosphere from the pregame, through the game, after the game, and what happens there. And so what he said was is that his kids were upset because they lost, but that he was proud of them because you could take some positives, and the attitude is changing, the atmosphere is changing, and that's why I think his most telling comment was, I didn't get a contract for one game or for four games. I have a 5-year contract. This is a process. People are going to have to be patient, but we got to build that tradition. They have to come out. It has to be an imperative that they come out every week for the home games, because they're going to continue to see the team grow. And that's it. You can't fault that.
And that was what I was going to point out. Okay, I was there. I was tailgating in Lot 88. We were having a grand old time. There was a ton of people. That student section was fuller than I had seen it in a long time, and they stayed for a lot longer than they normally do.
Yeah.
Which, again, the goal, keep in mind, yes, the goal is to win football games. Yes, the goal is to win MAC championships. Yes, the goal is to get a bowl game. But let's face it, in a season like this where the talent isn't where he wants to be, and he's been outspoken about that. Look, you know, Robin Hook, when we did the Comm University lunch last week, said, look, they came in, they didn't have a whole heck of a lot of recruits. They had 2 weeks to recruit. Here's the class that they did. It was miraculous for the time frame, and here's what they put on the field. It's a quality team. You know, are they going to compete for a MAC championship this year? No, let's be realistic. They probably won't. Will they be competitive? Potentially they will be. Will they win all their ball games? No, they won't. The goal this year, and I believe Western perspective, Saturday was a huge victory because there were butts and stayed longer than they normally do, and a lot of smiles. You know what else I saw? An awful boat shirt. This guy is, you know, mind you, a credit because he's been able to whip up a crowd. Now, again, you have to win football games. In the end, you're still going to have to win MAC championships. In the end, you still have to continue to put a quality team on the field, and that may take some time, but you had butts in the seats, you had people there, you had people wearing the crew and the row the boat shirts. Mm-hmm. I think in a big I've been watching Western football for 12, 15 years. I don't remember that kind of enthusiasm, with the exception of maybe Gary Darnell's first game with Western.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since you saw people with, hey, look, here's the mantra, here's what we're going to do, here's the stuff, here's what this is all about.
Let me play devil's advocate for just a second.
Sure.
What about the next games, which look to be
Northwestern?
Tougher.
Number 17, it's going to be tough. It's not a home game. Again, keep in mind.
You just got to look good.
You just look.
That's right. Nobody expects them to win.
Why was Michigan State? Why did we look at Michigan State and go, hey, look, all right, we played well.
Yeah. That was a big game, Michigan State. Good defense, got good write-ups everywhere. So again,
if they go out to Northwestern and keep it within 10, 14 points, it's a victory.
Yeah. You're right. Nobody expects them to win. And so if they play good, that's all people will be pleased. You're right.
If they go out and they do something good against, or Iowa, topping on the cake. Look, this is the time where you get all of this stuff out in the open.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really count against you. You can be very competitive in the MAC, and that's really what you want to do.
Well, then they don't have to worry about having their first defeat.
Yeah.
That's sort of behind them now.
Last year, that team wasn't a very good team.
Yeah.
I mean, last year you ended up losing to Eastern. That's how that's how Bill Cubitt lost his job, in my opinion. It's like, okay, you don't lose to Eastern.
The point you were making too. When I was a student at Michigan State, when Duffy Doherty was there, it was big deal. The football game was the whole day. I mean, you're a student. That was everything was planned around that football game, and I think that's what you're getting at here.
Yeah.
Is the students are starting to say, hey, this is a worthwhile deal to plan to do.
I said, when you're out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and Lot 80 is 3/4 of full, and there's a whole heck of a lot of tailgaters out there, you've won.
Oh,
again,
yeah.
From a university perspective, it's like, okay, you got something. You got lightning in a bottle here.
Well, they're concerned about cash flow too. And if you want to have a top-notch program, you got to have some money coming in the front door.
But Coach Flex says he wants to start the tradition. So the big thing is when they play their next home game, there needs to be at least 25,000 people in the stands again, if not more, no matter if their record is 0-4 or 1-3 or whatever. He wants the same amount of butts in the seats because that's where you start the tradition. And so that people can see from week to week how this team is going to get better and better and better.
Coach Fleck mentioned a story where Northern Illinois went down and beat Alabama. Look, there were still 105,000 people when Alabama played Auburn the next week. They lost. But people still came back. You're not going to win every game. And the games you're supposed to win, you should win.
Yeah.
Especially now. But it's not like the expectation is go out there, Coach Fleck, and win a MAC championship this year.
It's build, and it's continue to build. I got a quick call from David in Oshtemo. He's a Western alum, says a lot of things about the new atmosphere were great, except the DJ, it was too loud. I've heard that from a lot of people. I think, actually, from other people told me that was the best part of the whole game. It was a great addition to the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Because you had, again, the lull times when the band is going and doing something else, and they're going down to hit the field, you still have music, you still have some amount of excitement. It doesn't look like the entire visiting sideline is empty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a lot of ways, I call it a win. I know the score says loss, but I'm telling you, I call it a win.
Well, and it's not like it got blown out by Nicholls State. They were on the goal line when Van Turpigen was intercepted.
Should they have won the game? Yes.
Yeah, but you know,
everything else points to, okay, there's something
going
on.
It was close.
Well, but the score was close enough that encouraged people to stay to the end.
You know, and the thing is, this has been a rash of upsets. I mean, look at all the teams that lost that weren't supposed to lose this weekend. You know, Western's not the only team that lost to a team they probably should have beaten. I mean, there's a lot of this upset thing going around, and
Did the Lions lose yesterday?
No,
hold on, story we got to get into too. I know. All right, we're going to talk to Brewmaster Dan. He's got a delicious pumpkin ale. It's Old Peninsula where we're at. It is a trifecta, 590 KZO. It is a trifecta, 590 WKZO. We're live from Old Peninsula. It is the debut today of Pumpkin Ale. Right, your extended review?
Top notch. It is a beer that has pumpkin and spice taste to it, but it tastes like beer. It doesn't taste like pie and wet stuff.
It's got a nice aftertaste that stays with you for a little bit, the spices.
Oh, yeah. It's smooth.
It's really, really, yeah, but and Brewmaster Dan said it, though, and he'll say it again. This is a beer. This is a, or pumpkin ale, but it's, I really like this. It's smooth.
Yeah.
Really smooth.
Brewmaster Dan is with us, too.
Yeah.
All right, so then.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. No, thanks for having us. Are you kidding me? Loving this.
I'm not as loquacious as you guys, but I'll do my best.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Loquacious.
He just dropped a big word. It's great. All right, so tell me a little bit about that spice in the back of my throat when I'm done with it. That's delicious.
Well, this beer is made with all of the spices that go into pumpkin pie, but they're made with, instead of just an extract, which can be made pretty inexpensively, these are actually essential oils of the spices.
Oh, really?
So it gives a really unique kind of flavor that you don't get with a lot of pumpkin ales. So the flavor you're getting is you know, any one of those spices.
It's funny because I remember this. I mean, you guys were brewing pumpkin ale a long time before I started seeing it all over the place. Now all of a sudden it's a cool thing. It's like IPAs. Everybody's got to have one. I mean,
right.
you guys were early on in the pumpkin ale.
Yeah, definitely. Buffalo Bills was the first one in the country that I'm aware of that did it, and it used to be just a homebrew kind of thing. And I used to brew it every year. I looked forward to it. It was the only beer I could get my parents to drink at Thanksgiving time. They'd have one. Otherwise, they wanted nothing to do with my homebrew.
Oh, I bet.
But, yeah, it's now everybody has one, and that makes it unique, a challenge to be able to still, you know, have a good one. I haven't made any changes to the one we've had that I've been doing for 10 years here. And I still think, like we were talking, it holds its own. It's a beer. It's not one of the ones where you have to fight to get through it because it's like a dessert beer or it's too sweet or overly spiced. So, you know, nice balance, subtleness.
So your recipe year to year remains exact. In your mind, this is the pumpkin ale from last year.
Oh, absolutely. The only variance would be the ingredients, and I'm not going to say it. One of my suppliers is going to be changing much. You know, the malt is the same malt, the hops are the same hops. Year to year they vary, but we make adjustments. The essential oils are done the same every year. So no, it's the same beer, and a lot of times people will say, you know, hey, this is better than last year. And as long as they say it's better than last year, I'm
You're
fine
good.
With it. But it right. really is the same as last year.
All right, so then let me ask, how big of a, because this is a limited batch, obviously, how big of a batch and how long does it actually take you to go through this batch?
Well, actually, I make 8 batches.
Oh, really?
And so, I just, when I was waiting to get on here, I scratched down some fun numbers.
All right.
That's like 1,736 gallons. So if you did it in 12-ounce bottles. Yeah. It's like 18,500 bottles.
Jeez.
771 cases. Basically, it's like a full semi-truck with, you know, 14 pallets of beer on it. And we will go through all of that in 2.5 months.
Wow.
Really?
Just out of the building here, because as you know, we cannot distribute as a brew pub. We can only sell out of our own doors. So that will be all sold out of here in, 75 days.
I've seen a lot of people come with a glass jug, man.
Growlers, man. Got to get a growler. Go home.
That's right.
You sell them in growlers. You sell. You do the 5-gallon soda kegs then, too?
We do kegs also. Okay. And for the first couple batches, we go through so much that we don't do the kegs until the third batch. So after about a week, we'll start doing some kegs. And if you want a quarter barrels, we can do those on order.
So how long does it take you to go through a batch? I mean, will a batch, because it's today, it unleashes today, so.
I can only speak, on what it has been in the past.
Right.
But typically the first batch will go in 3 or 4 days. And normally, just give me an idea, most of our beers will go, the fastest one is IPA, and it'll go in 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
And everything else goes in about a month. So we're going in like 3 or 4 days. The second batch, maybe 5 days. So, and we'll go through 2 batches in a week.
Oh my gosh!
So you better come down here and get it now.
500 gallons in a growler's worth.
That's fantastic.
Have you ever run out?
Well, yeah, we run out every year.
It's a great batch.
Oh, it is. You gotta come down and get some. You really do.
Pumpkin Ale is out. It is here. It's at Old Peninsula. You should stop down. We've got another hour live from Old Peninsula. It is the trifecta. Jay, Jim, Roger, Gene Clem, 590 WKZO.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.